Praise the Lord. Message number 17. The title of the message, To Be Filled with the Holy Spirit, Part 5. Let's open our Bible to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And let us read verse 4 to verse 11. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determined. Lord, we thank You for Your goodness and Your faithfulness unto us. Bless this time, O God, bless Your word. Bless my lips and anoint me to speak forth Your goodness and Your faithfulness to Your people. Thank You, Lord, for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sin. And thank You, Lord, for the hope of salvation that we have in You, Lord. And thank You for the assurance of eternal life that we receive from You, O God. And Lord, we give You praise and we adore You for the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we receive from You, O God. Lord, I pray that the message will be a blessing to many people, O God. And I pray in the name of Jesus that You make the message reach Your people who are waiting to hear Your word, O God. And I pray that the purpose that You send this message shall be accomplished. I pray that many will get filled with the Holy Spirit and they will serve You wholeheartedly, O God. Lord, we need more people to be filled with Your Holy Spirit so that we can be more effective in reaching the lost and doing Your work faithfully. We thank You, Lord, and we bless You, Master. This is all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The baptism or the filling of the Holy Spirit is required to receive and acquire the gifts of the Holy Spirit that are necessary for us to function properly as a church for the glory of God. The church should function with the gifts of the Holy Spirit and not with the mere talents of the people. The church that functions with people's talents and not the gifts of the Holy Spirit, then it is just similar to any office or institute in the world. Talents are abilities that a human have from birth or develop later on using his body abilities. And through these talents, people will perform certain tasks. But in regard to the church, we should not run our churches with only talents, because God wants us to run the churches and the work of Him by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God. God does not want His church to move and go on by mere human talents. Although talents are useful in God's service, but God wants His church to go on and do His will by the gifts of the Holy Spirit that He gives to those who are sanctified and to those whom He is going to be to fill them with the Holy Spirit. Once again, we may do a lot of things, you may do a lot of things good, but these are done by your tenants. Praise the Lord for the tenants that use for the glory of God. But God wants you, and God wants us as a church to move from serving Him with our tenants to be moving to serve Him with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will give to those who are going to be baptized by Him. Let us also speak about tenants. Tenants also can be given by the Holy Spirit to certain people to enable them to achieve certain tasks when that task is needed. For example, there are certain tasks and the church needs somebody who is skillful to do certain tasks. The Lord, as He looks to the need, He may equip somebody with the Holy Spirit. He may equip him with that skills by the Holy Spirit to achieve that task at that particular time, to fulfill that particular need in the life of the church. For example, when God commanded Moses to construct the tabernacle according to the criteria that He had given him, He also provided to him tenants through the filling of the Spirit. He filled certain people to achieve that required task. Let's open our Bible to Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 to verse 11. Now when God commanded Moses to build the tabernacle according to the criteria that He showed him, and the figure that He showed him, the design that He showed to Moses on the mountain, He did not tell Moses, you go and do it yourself. But He gave the skill to certain people, as we're going to read now. Then the Lord said to Moses, see, I have chosen Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with the skill, ability and knowledge in all kinds of crafts, to make artistic designs for work in gold, silver and bronze, to cut and set stones, to work in wood, and to engage in all kinds of craftsmanship. Moreover, I have appointed Oholiab, son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan, to help him. Also, I have given skill to all the craftsmen to make everything I have commanded you. The tent of meeting, the ark of testimony of the testimony, with the atonement cover on it, and all the other furnishings of the tent, the table and its articles, the pure gold lampstand and all its accessories, the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering, and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, and also the woven garments, both the sacred garments for Aaron, the priest, and the garments for his sons when they serve as a priest, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them just as I had commanded you. So here we find here clearly that God had filled busy with the Holy Spirit, and also he provided him a helper, that is Oholiab, and also he skilled also the workers with the skills. He equipped them with the skills so that the task that he entrusted to Moses, it can be achieved. So in certain occasion, God may give talents to certain members, to certain leaders, to certain persons in the church so that they can do the task. Suppose there is need for somebody to handle the treasury, and that person that God called, he does not know how to how to do things regarding calculation, but the Lord can equip him with the skills. Certain time God called people to do certain administrative work, and they don't have these skills in certain aspect of administration, certain aspect of certain services. He might equip them with skills so that they can do the task. He may give them the skill of driving, the skill of playing instruments, the skill of cooking, the skill of repairing. This is all he may give it on the spot so that the service can continue. But God wants his church to be run with the Holy Spirit, with the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have read in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12, varieties of the gifts. So now we're going to go through it. Now before we go through it, we need to emphasize that God is the one who determines to each person what gifts he need to receive. We cannot dictate on God what are the gifts that he need to give me. He would give me the gifts that I need and he desire for me in order to save him. The other things here, we need to develop these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We need to invest, we need to use them, we need to put them into practice so that they will develop. In addition, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are distributed by God for the common good of all. When God gives you a certain gift, that's not for you. That's for the whole church. If God gives me a certain gift, that I should not be using it for my own self. No one should keep the gift that he received for himself, but he should use them for the benefits of the whole body of Christ. That's the church. We'll go now a brief presentation of these gifts and some details when it's needed. The first gift is the message of wisdom. The message of wisdom is the ability to choose the right scripture that match with the reality of the life situation. For example, if the church is faced with certain challenge or face a certain situation that need to be solved, the person who has the message of wisdom will be able to find out the scripture that speak about the same problem that the church is facing, and through that scripture, with the help of the Holy Spirit, the church will be able to find from the scripture the way out from that particular problem. Every situation, every problem in life, there are scriptures in the Bible that speak exactly the same situation. And those who have the message of wisdom, the gift of the message of wisdom, the Holy Spirit will move them to go to these scriptures and expound this scripture and link it with the reality of the situation of the life of the church. And from the scriptures, linking it with the reality, with the help of the Spirit, the church will be able to find out the steps how to come out from this problem and how to solve it. The second gift is the message of knowledge. This gift of knowledge, the message of knowledge, does not depend upon one's schoolwork or one's IQ or one's natural abilities, but it is simply what God reveals or opens up in one's heart, that which was not there before. God, when there's need, he will reveal a certain secret. He will put it in the heart and the mind of certain person in the church. He will give him the secret because the church need to know about that secret for the glory of God, for certain hurdles or certain situations that God wanted to enable His church to overcome. For example, in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, God revealed to the friends of Daniel what was the dream of the king and gave them the right explanation. King Nebuchadnezzar, he say, I have seen a dream. He asked all the magician and the enchanter and those who have knowledge, and including Daniel as a friend. He say, you tell me what was my dream and explain it to me, otherwise all of you will be executed. So here's the need for the message of knowledge. God revealed to Daniel's friends while they are praying and after their prayer the secret of the king and his dream, and he gave them also the explanation for that. The third gift is the gift of faith. The gift of faith is a special impartation that permits one to believe God on behalf of others in the church. At certain time the church must struggle. There's a person in the church who have very strong faith that he would believe God, and he will encourage the church to go forward. And as they are encouraged by his gift of faith, they will find God's true promise fulfilled in their life and life of the church. God would give someone in the church higher faith to encourage others to believe God for a miraculous intervention. As they believe, as we believe, we receive the promise of the Lord. The fourth gift is the gift of healing. It's a special enablement to operate in the Holy Spirit with healings that include emotional, physical, and spiritual healings within the body of Christ. It's important because we need a physician, and the Lord is our physician. He died for our sin. By His wound we receive healing, emotional, physical, and spiritual healing. Any sickness, especially that is impossible, beyond the cure, Christ can heal. We need to have faith and pray. The fifth gift is miraculous powers. This is a special gifting of the Holy Spirit that enables supernatural events to occur in the church. Miracles are not magic, nor are they to be expected at every turn of the events. But God does, at His discretion, certain miracles into the congregational life for the common good of all believers and for the building up of faith. Certain time God intervenes with the miraculous powers when that is needed according to His will, so that there will be a common benefit for all the people in the congregation. There will be a deliverance, and there will be building up of the faith of the people. The next gift is the gift of prophecy. Prophecy is either foretelling, to proclaim what is to come in the future, or foretelling, to declare to the people the will of God at the present time. So either to tell the people about the future, but more frequently in the New Testament is to declare to the people the will of God at the present time. People nowadays, they lack somebody to tell them good things about their future. That is not foretelling. That is sometimes used in the wrong way, and we have to be careful. Many people, they have received a prophecy and they are still asking why it is not yet fulfilled. Some of these prophecies are false prophecies. Yes, there are certain prophets, they will tell the future. But nowadays there are many who proclaim to be prophets, and they have gifts of the prophecy, but they will not tell the people the truth or face them with their sin. They will speak to the people about God's blessing, but they will not remind them and rebuke them and discipline them to the requirement of the Lord. They will not tell them the will of God today. If a prophet will not tell you the will of God today, then what he is telling you about the future is not correct as well. Prophecy should strengthen, should encourage, should comfort, should correct, should direct, should redirect. We need to be very careful in the church when somebody is speaking about the future. We have to weigh it very well. But someone who speaks the will of God today, that's we need to take it by heed and obey the word of God and the will of God. The next gifts, distinguishing between spirits or discernment. The gift of discerning spirit is to enable a believer to see spiritual warfare behind the physical realities of life. It can be used as a warning or as an aid in understanding certain difficulties faced by a congregation or a church. When we have this, when we have a distinction between spirit or discernment, we can see in the spirits what are the work and the stronghold of Satan and how he is fighting against the church, so that we can go into spiritual warfare. We bind this evil spirit, we cast them out and in the name of Jesus, and we get deliverance. Discernment also include, apart from seeing the thing that is unseen in the spirit and give warning to the church or certain people to avoid that situation, the sermon also include, or distinguish between spirit also, God may reveal the inner intention of certain people for certain situation, so we will be able to avoid mishap or trouble or clashes in the future with those certain kind of people. So these are all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Till now, they are precious, and the church truly cannot work or operate without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our life. The next is gift is speaking different kinds of tongues. The gift of tongues is God's special enablement to speak in an unknown language, as we discussed in the previous messages. It's either it is a new language to proclaim the gospel, or it is the angel of tongues. There's a purpose for the different kinds of tongues. It's to glorify God and to affect both the believer and the unbeliever. What are the purpose of tongues? The tongue is still, we want to speak about tongues, is the initial and first manifestation of the Holy Spirit baptism. Tongue exists till this very day. It will continue until the Lord will come and take us. Some people, they say there is no tongues. That is not correct. All the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we have read still existing, because God gave it to the church to help the church to exist. And one of the gifts is tongue. What is the purpose of the gift of tongue? First, to preach in different language. Different languages, as happened in the book of Acts, chapter 2. The people see, hear them. In Acts chapter 2, verse 12 to 14, speak about the Jews who were there. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have too much wine." Then Peter stood up, raised his voice, and addressed the crowds. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain to you and listen carefully what I say. Why they say that they may have drunk wine or they have fun. In verse 11, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. So here the tongues is given in order to declare the wonder of God to the other nation. God may enable us at any time with a new language to speak in order to proclaim the wonders of God to those who have not heard the gospel. Tongues also can be used for personal edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 4 say, he who speaks in tongue edify himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. So personal edification, as we pray or sing in tongues, we are edifying ourselves. Now, as we spoke also before, the tongues should be used publicly only when there is interpretation. If there is no interpretation, the one who speaks in tongue, he should be silent. That's what we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 27-28. If anyone is speaking a tongue, two or at the most three should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and God. So if there is no one interpreting the tongue, you can still continue speaking in tongue, but privately you and God, and edify yourself. The third purpose of the tongue, edification of the church. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 5, how the church edify? When we speak in tongue and there's interpretation of tongue, it is equal to prophecy. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Prophecy, declaring the will of God, edify the church. Tongues, when it is associated with interpretation, is equal to prophecy, as we will going to explain later on. So when there's speaking in tongues and somebody interpret, then the church will receive the message of God and get edified. The other purpose of tongue is for intercessory prayers. We can use tongues in a prayer. Romans 8 verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit help us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercede for us with the groans that words cannot express. Here the speaking in tongues will let us know what is in the mind of God, the Spirit of God, and will lead us what we need to pray for. Also 1 Corinthians chapter 14 verse 15. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind, praying in the spirit, praying in tongue. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. So also singing in the spirit, singing in tongues, and praying in tongues. The other purpose why God gives tongue? God gives tongue confirmation of the word of God. The promise of the Lord in Mark chapter 16, verse 17-20. The word of God says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well. After the Lord Jesus has spoke to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out, and he preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them, and confirmed his word by the sign that accompanied it. The Lord confirmed his word. When he said they were speaking in a new tongue, he gave them the day of Pentecost, and he is giving us till this day the gift of speaking in tongues. The other purpose for the gift of tongue is intimacy with God. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Anyone who speaks in tongues does not speak to men but to God. So there is intimacy with God. As we pray and speak with tongues and sing with the Lord in tongues, we will have communion with him, fellowship with him, and we get closer. As we pray, he will speak to us, he will guide us, and he will direct us. And the purpose of tongue, a means of experiencing rest. As in Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to his people. That's the prophecy about the speaking in tongues. To whom he said, this is the resting place. When we speak in tongues, we have resting in our spirit. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose, but they would not. Listen, speaking in tongues and baptism in the Holy Spirit is a resting in place for the weary. It is a place of comfort. As we pass the trials, as we pass difficulties and hardship, the answer today to overcome is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit that will fill us, that will fill you, is the one who will enable you to overcome hardship and difficulties. Speaking tongues is an evidence of an experience. It's a proof evidence. Why God gives speaking in tongues is a proof evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2 verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enables them. Here they receive the Holy Spirit, the sign of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, the evidence that they have experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit, they start to speak in new tongue. Now, by the way, the tongues should be spontaneously. When God baptizes a person with the Holy Spirit, he will speak in tongues spontaneously. You cannot imitate others. Also, we cannot teach you to speak in tongues and to imitate us. That is cheating. That is not the filling of the Holy Spirit. What is the purpose of tongue? Communication between God and the church. How God communicates with the church through the tongues. When there is interpretation of tongues. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 10. He say, to another speaking in different kinds of tongue, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. As God interpret the tongue, then he communicate to the church and speak to them directly his will. What is the purpose of tongue? Again in Isaiah 28 verse 10 to 12. Spoke about speaking different tongues is the fulfillment of a prophecy. Very well then, with foreign lips and strange tongues, God will speak to these people. God fulfills a prophecy in the day of Pentecost when the disciples they start to speak with a new tongue. To whom he said, this is the resting place that the weary rest, and this is the place of repose, but they would not listen. The early churches we read in the book of Acts, and they face the troubles and hardship when they pray. And they get refilled again with the Holy Spirit. They have peace and they have comfort. They have assurance that God is still beside them. And they have the trust in him to go forward and to continue to serve him. The gift of tongues also can be used for the assigned part to the unbeliever. Tongues then are assigned not for believers but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is for believers, not for unbelievers. So tongues are signed for the unbelievers, as we read in the book of Acts, chapter 2. Let us read again verse 6 onward to verse 14. When they hear this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one hear them speak in his own tongue. Utterly amazed. They were unbeliever. These are the unbeliever. They are utterly amazed. How we are hearing those people, they are speaking with our own tongue. They ask, are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene. Visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arab, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. So that was a sign also for the unbeliever. The gift of tongues was given the day of Pentecost, so that they can give the message exactly. But more than that, it was a sign for the unbeliever that there's something amazing is God is doing in the life of his disciple. That would encourage the crowd to believe. What is the purpose of tongues? It's an evidence of the complete ascension and glorification of Jesus. In John chapter 16 verse 7, the Lord say, but I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When the Holy Spirit came on them, now they know that the Lord had been ascended to heaven, and he is now at the right hand of God the Father, and he is sending them the promise of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit. One more gift left we need to explain is the interpretation of tongues. This is a special enablement of the Holy Spirit which reveals the understanding of the message given in tongues. Somebody speaking tongues, himself or somebody else who have the gift of the interpretation, will interpret to the church the explanation of the message. Interpretation of tongues is not necessarily the exact words of the message in tongues offered publicly before the congregation. And as such, this gift exhibits characteristics similar, therefore, to prophecy. So when he explained the message, but not word by word, but he can give what God wants to tell with certain words and verses. Somebody speak in tongue and the other interpret it. So the gift of tongue with the interpretation will become equal to prophecy, to declare the will of God to the church and what is going to do and what he wants the church to do for him. So the power of the gift of tongues is that with interpretation it offers an understanding of God's will that might be equated with the prophecy. These two, the gift of prophecy and tongues with interpretation, may not be precisely the same, equally balanced on both sides, but the effect is the same. You may ask how prophecy equal to tongues with interpretation, the effect is the same. What God wants to tell, He would declare it either this way or another way. With this brief explanation, we went through the gifts of the Holy Spirit according to what is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There is also some scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 at the end of scripture. Speak about more gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we're going to tackle them in the next messages, as we're going to speak about Romans 12 and first and also Ephesians chapter 4. More gifts are there in these scriptures, so we don't need to explain and go more details about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 12, verse 27 to 31, when Apostle Paul was speaking to the church, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. And in the church, God has appointed first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then workers of miracles, also those having gifts of healing, those able to help others, those with gifts of administration, and those speaking in different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, but eagerly desire the greater gifts." There are here more gifts of the Holy Spirit: apostles, teachers, and administration, and work of miracles. We spoke about some of these. The rest we will find them in Romans chapter 12 and in Ephesians chapter 4. And that's what we're going to discuss in the next part of the message, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let's kneel down and thank the Lord to all what He gave us. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, thank the Lord for that big blessing. God is with you, and thank you for all the gifts that He bestowed on you. And be willing to share what you have with the body of Christ, and be effective in your service to God. And if you are not yet filled with the Holy Spirit, kneel down and tell Him, "Lord, I commit my life and my ways in your hand. I renounce all my sins and my wrongdoing. I realize, Lord, that you would not be pleased with my life unless I am filled with your Holy Spirit. And I know, Lord, that my sin has separated me from you. Today, Lord, as I kneel down, accept my repentance. And Lord, I desire to be filled with your Spirit, so that I can serve you in a more effective way. Lord, I pray for that person. Bless him, O God. And Lord, you know what is in his heart. I pray, Lord, you fill him according to thy will with the Holy Spirit, so that he can save you. And I pray for each and every servant who are faithful to you, who receive the gift from you. Use him mightily, and let his gift will be for common use of each and every one of us. And I pray even, Lord, I pray for myself. I'm willing to be used by you, Lord. Whatever gift you had given to me, I put it in the service of the church. And I pray for the message, protect it and take it with the power of the Holy Spirit to reach on time those who are waiting, O God, to hear your word and to be guided and directed by your message. O Lord, bless us. Enlarge our territory, Lord. Let your hand be with us and keep us from harm,
so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, in Jesus' name. Amen.